We bring to these microphones right now David James of David James Reports. This has become a very important part of the program Prophecy Today, a feature that many people want to interact with. And in fact, when I say interact, they are sending David and myself emails either praising us or taking us to task for what we may say during this segment of Prophecy Today. But I do believe we are speaking to issues that need to be discussed by the body of Christ. And David and I are, there's some issues we may be absolute on because we have a biblical basis upon which to be absolute. But many times we're questioning, is this right? Is this biblical? Should we go this direction, etc., etc.? And so I want you to remember that you can get a hold of David James Reports on our website, prophecytoday.com. On the right-hand column, scroll down, and you'll see an icon which is introducing David James Reports and everything we've done over the last couple of months available at that particular location. Today we find David James not here in America, not in Israel, as he was with us last time we were together, but instead he's at the Word of Life Bible Institute in Hungary. David, you were the one who started that Bible Institute years ago. It must be very interesting for you now to go back and be one of the adjunct professors at the school.
Yes, it actually is, and it's a great honor, and God has blessed the school, and The current director of the school is doing a great job, and in fact, Alconia and I, who started the school together, are both going to be guest lecturers together same week, this coming week.
Wow, that is exciting. Well, that's great, and I'm sure you'll have some great memories to talk about as well. David, so many issues that we could discuss each and every week. We look at what should be our priority in discussion, and this week we have another first that is directly connected, actually, to a bigger issue. The NFL, the National Football League, has drafted the first openly gay player as Michael Sam was picked by the St. Louis Rams. What are your thoughts about this?
I think the thing that struck me most about this was the coverage of it. Not so much that the NFL picked him up as a gay player. I'm sure there are gay players throughout the league and in other sports as well. But as this was covered, there were cameras rolling in his living room, and his boyfriend was there with him. And when they got the news of it, Michael started crying, and then he looked up and kissed his boyfriend, and then they hugged each other, and they were both crying, and then they kissed again, and they hugged and crying and kissed again. So it was this overt display that was brought right into our living rooms and then went across the internet and you know, our children and all of this. It's just a part of the normalization, the attempt to normalize this as an acceptable part of culture, society.
Yes, it certainly is propagating that philosophy of life to the people of the world. Well, it's a hot topic this week, but it wasn't the only thing that's connected to the homosexual agenda, the signing of a openly gay player for the NFL. And it's so frequent that it is definitely impacting and changing the entire American culture, including even the church, is what concerns me.
Well, I agree with you, Jimmy. In fact, in April, a new book came out. It was written by Matthew Vines, a 24-year-old man who is a Harvard student, and it's called God and the Gay Christian, and the subtitle is The Biblical Case in Support of Same-Sex Relationships. And the thing about this young man is he claims to be homosexual, but he also says that he grew up in a conservative, loving Christian home, and he also maintains that he holds to the authority of the Scripture, the inerrancy, and he even attempts to make his arguments for homosexuality directly from the Bible using a biblical hermeneutic.
Wow, that is very concerning as I look at it, and I'm sure you feel the exact same way. What do they do? What is he doing, actually? Completely ignoring the passages that deal with the issue?
Well, this is probably one of the most interesting things about it, and I would say the most dangerous things about it, because as you and I know, we talk about using an historical, grammatical, literal hermeneutic as the right way to approach the Bible. And in fact, that is what he is using. I listened to an hour-long presentation that he made a couple of years ago, and the surprising thing is that he actually does attempt to deal with the historical and the literary hermeneutic. Now, he makes some serious mistakes on both sides, but a lot of people who won't see through this, I'm concerned, will find this very convincing.
Yes, absolutely. I want to discuss their biblical defense in a moment, but first of all, actually, this Michael Vines doesn't start with the Bible, but instead they start with a presupposition, saying that some people are just predisposed to same-sex attraction. How do you respond to that part of the argument?
Well, there are actually a couple parts to that. One is a kind of a philosophical side, and the other is a biological side. And the biological side, meaning that we are born this way, that is a very hotly debated issue within the scientific community. And one of the biggest problems for that view is that you have twins who are, their DNA is a clone. In other words, they are actually clones. Genetically, they're identical. And yet there are many that where one claims to be straight and the other one claims to be same-sex attracted. I would say, rather than frame it as same-sex attraction or predisposed to that, we are predisposed to sin because of our sin nature. You have some people who are predisposed, or because of our personalities, one person might become more angry quicker than another, and he has to learn to control that. You might have one person who finds it easier to lie than another. You might have various kinds of parts of our personality that are strengths and weaknesses, and we need to control them. And our sexual urges are exactly the same way, whether they be in an opposite sex or a same-sex situation. So the predisposition is predisposition to sin, and then we look to the Bible to see whether we're able to follow it or not.
Okay, let's look at the Bible. What is their basic biblical argument, for example, concerning Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19, when God actually destroyed those cities because of this sodomite sin?
Well, in that case, the case he made was that the sin was not that these men were engaged in homosexual relationships, but that they wanted to gang rape these men to humiliate them as a military tactic that was used by armies to defeat them and to humiliate them. But there are several problems with that. One is that Matthew Vines and others are arguing for God is not against loving same-sex relationships. He's against violent sexual behavior of any kind. The thing is, in Genesis 13, God has already said that the men, and actually the word is not just men in general, it's males, was exceedingly sinful. And then in other places in the scriptures, especially Jude, talking about sexual sin and references made to Sodom and Gomorrah. So it looks like it is a lifestyle issue of wickedness that God judged.
And Leviticus 18:22 says two men having sex is an abomination unto the Lord.
That's exactly right. And in fact, if you read that context, both in Leviticus 18 and in chapter 20, that is just one statement in a long list of the kinds of relationships that are prohibited as moral issues. For example, incest, adultery, it even mentions bestiality. So they're moral issues, and they go beyond the law. They're moral issues. Now, in the midst of that, there's one mention concerning women during their monthly cycle, and they're not supposed to be involved sexually then. The problem with the exegesis on that is that there are some things that are ceremonial issues, ceremonially unclean, but they aren't moral issues. And so the writer mentions that, but it's very clear that all the other things are moral issues.
When you look in the New Testament, we've been talking from the Old Testament perspective, but in the New Testament, Apostle Paul seems to be pretty clear on the issue in Romans chapter 1, talking about this being an abomination. And also in 1 Corinthians 6:9 says those types of people will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes, that's exactly right. And once again, there's this presupposition again that what we're saying is this is a special kind of sin That we just don't want people in loving relationships. And he says what Paul is describing there in Romans are unnatural relationships, and that they involve, in some cases, violence and whatever. And the most amazing thing about this is they twist this and turn it on its head, and they say that if someone has a same-sex attraction, then what would be unnatural for them would be to have a heterosexual relationship. And so it would be sin for a same-sex attracted man to have a sexual relationship with a woman, and that would be unnatural. They say that would be the sin. That is some of the worst twisting of Scripture I've ever heard.
Yes, absolutely. Perversion, trying to make it coincide with my beliefs in any way, shape, or form that I can. David, the cultural shift, including in the church, is just one more reason why I believe America and the world, in reality, is on a path to destruction and judgment. Would you not agree accepting the Word of God and trusting in Christ without excuse is the only solution?
It sure is. You know, whatever we struggle with, whatever our strengths and weaknesses are in our personalities, however we're born, our lives are reflected in our relationship with Christ and our relationship with others, and the only solution to the problems that we have in our sin nature is to realize that Christ died for our sins, He arose from the grave, and we trust Him and the Holy Spirit to guide us as we come to know His Word and live in accordance with it.
In reality, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We must trust in Him, as David just said, and then allow His Word to direct us on all of our paths. Very interesting discussion, David. Appreciate it. These are issues that the body of Christ needs to look at, because many churches are going along the way of Matthew Vines, and we need to hold God's Word up in front of each and every one of us. Thank you, David. Have a great time in Hungary. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy.